Now we're going to look at the second reading, which is from the book of Acts, and is again tracing the history of God with his people. It's Paul's speech in Antioch of Pisidia. There are two Antiochs, and this is the one further east. And just before they go there, Paul and Barnabas have this difficulty with Mark. And so, anyway, well, we begin with Paul's. He was offered, "Would you like to address some words?" And he said yes. And so he mentioned with his hand, and he said, "Fellow Israelites, and you others who are God-fearing, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our ancestors and exalted the people during their sojourn in the land of Egypt. With uplifted arm, he led them out of it." And then it skips a part, picks up again. "Then he removed Saul and raised up David as king. Of him he testified, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my heart. He will carry out my every wish.' From this man's descendants, God," see, according to his promise, "has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus." Now John heralded his coming by proclaiming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was completing his course, he would say, "What you suppose that I am not. Behold, one is coming after me, and I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals of his feet." And the whole speech goes on and on. Through the death and resurrection and so forth. And then Paul ends, it's not in our text, "My brothers, I want you to realize that it is through him, that is this one raised up by God and raised from the dead, that forgiveness of your sins is proclaimed. Through him, justification from all sins which the law of Moses was unable to justify is offered to every believer. So be careful, or what the prophets say will happen to you. You'll miss it," you know, in effect. And then they said, "Well, please come back and tell us more," which they did. Now what this is, you see, this speech is tracing God's work with the people. It's a faith vision. And as I already pointed out, one that included trusting God through hundreds of years. When they returned from exile, after they were punished, and then they returned, when they got back there, well, they built the city walls again. No city without a wall in that part of the world at that time. And they rebuilt the temple. Now, it says in the book of Ezra, I'm not quite sure it's Ezra, that they finished the temple. And the old folks who remembered the other beautiful, splendid temple wept. This pure, poor excuse for a temple. But the young people who never saw the other one were thrilled to death that they had a temple. And so the author says in the last line, very symbolically, "The sound of the weeping and the sound of the rejoicing were mingled together and you couldn't tell them apart." The whole situation is ambiguous. We're back, but we're not yet really a people. We're not yet faithful to the Lord. And this excuse for a temple, or maybe whatever you want to call it, that's why Herod rebuilt it. I will be the one. Solomon and Herod will be the two. Thing was not even quite finished when it was destroyed, Herod's. And it's destroyed to this day. You go over there, go to the Temple Mount, and what do you see? The Mosque of Aqsa. The Dome of the Rock. It's all Muslim. There's nothing Jewish on that mount right now. So anyway, Paul is now going to go through part of the story, you see. Then he removed Saul and raised up David as king, of whom he testified, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will carry out my every wish. From this man's descendants, God, according to his promise, has brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus. Now, to his audience, they know he just skipped 500 years. Between the promise to David, the exile, the humiliation, the poverty, the conquest, back, and at this moment, occupied by the Roman army, and with this temple still being built by Herod, who was only half Jewish, he skips all that. They know that, you see. He's tracing the thread, you see. I have found David, a son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will carry out my every wish. From this man's descendants, the text says literally, from this man's seed, spermatos. Okay. John heralded his coming by proclaiming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was completing his course, he would say, what do you suppose that I am? I am not he. You've been waiting hundreds and hundreds of years, and you're all excited because I have a powerful ministry and many, many people are coming back to God. I am not he. There's one coming after me, and that one, I'm not worthy to unlace his shoes. That's the one. And he will, you see, I'm baptizing with water, John says. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will pour out the Spirit on you. And that phrase, which he made up, because he's baptizing in water, and the next one is going to come and baptize, but not in water, but in Spirit. And he's alluding to the numerous times in the Old Testament where the promise of full restoration, the promise of the complete fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham and to the people over and over again by the prophets will take place. And one of the ways that that action of God is described is to say, pour out the Spirit. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Joel, Isaiah, in several places, and of course the famous one in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. So John is just coining, I'm pouring out water on you, but there's one coming who will pour out his Spirit on you. You hear what I'm saying? He'll pour out his Spirit. This will be the fulfillment of the promise we have been waiting for hundreds of years. And so that's what Paul is saying, you see, that I'm not worthy. And so you see, this again is expectation. As we're in this time, you see, this is the time of expectation. And so, Paul is making this speech. He skips over part of the history, but everybody there in that synagogue knows that history. And they know what he's saying. Wouldn't it be great if we Catholics knew our history that way? The failures and the sins and the victories and the saints and knew? If I said to you, when was St. Leo preaching? See what I mean? The Jews would know all that, the devout ones anyway. You know? Now, was St. Leo before St. Gregory or after him? You know? Was St. Thomas before either of them or after them? History of God's way with his people. We are his people. And just like the Jews, most of the time we're false to him. So God raises up prophets, Mother Teresa, Padre Pio, all the great, Saint Francis, Saint, whatever you want. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque to call us back to the mercy of God. When that wasn't enough, he raised up Sister Faustina, St. Faustina, said, he told Margaret Mary Alacoque, I want a feast of my Sacred Heart. I want the whole church to stop and think of my mercy. And it still didn't work. So he said to Faustina, tell the Pope, I want the first Sunday after Easter to be called Mercy Sunday and to be celebrated. You know, Jesus told us to do that. Do we still get it? Are we overwhelmed by his mercy? Do we love him? Do we give up everything for him? Where are we? I promise you, if we were even to improve 20%, though much of the world would come to Christ right now and be thrilled with his mercy. So that's what Paul is saying. You see, he's tracing, as we could do. We could start wherever you want. Sacred Heart, Gertrude, then Margaret Mary, then Faustina, or then Therese, and then Faustina. All women, you notice, of to remind the church of his mercy. It might melt our hearts, finally. We might get out of bed and pray. We might get to church during the week. We might stay home and take care of our kids. If we're overwhelmed by the experience of his mercy. And that's what Paul is saying, you see? And he just goes as far as allusion to John. But everybody knows who this John is. I mean, they're in the diaspora. They're not all right there in Israel. But they know everything that goes on there, as people do today. Devout Jews in New York know what's going on in Israel. Well, and that's a bigger distance than from Jerusalem to Antioch. And so that's the speech. And it's just a speech tracing now God's witness. And then we hear this and we sing Alleluia. Tomorrow, that'll be Christmas Day. Tomorrow, the wickedness of the earth will be destroyed. The Savior of the world will reign over us. We could have that if we really get ready for it. If we prepare that the Lord would come and reign over us, and we would be clear and strong and enthusiastic in our faith. We would care for the poor. We would forgive our enemies. And the whole world would see Christ. Which is the whole point. We're in a mess right now, but a lot of that mess is caused by the lack of Christianity among the Christians. How are you? You're no different than I am. Why do you, you drink too much, you're running after women, you cheat at business, whatever. And then you expect me to say, that God has come among us and I could have eternal life by believing in him? What about you? Do you believe? That's the challenge, my friends.